And this is Growing the Game, brought to you by Pizza Hut in Saskatchewan. Also brought to you by our friend Paul Waldo over there at Royal LePage Home Expert Team. And also brought to you by our friends at Wheel Estate. If you have a travel trailer you want to rent out, or you want to rent a travel trailer coming next camping season, check them out at wheelestate.ca. I'm joined by former U of R Ram Regina's own Mark Mueller, two-time Grey Cup champ. Of course, he's the running backs coach for the Calgary Stampeders. Mark, which Grey Cup's better, this last one or the first one?
They're both so different. I think the first year in 14, it was just such a whirlwind for me. And then this last one, a couple weeks ago, with all the previous 3 years hard work going into it, it feels a little sweeter this time.
Does it take the sting away from those other two, for lack of a better word, debacles?
I don't think it ever will, because unfortunately, you played, and athletes out there, you remember the ones you lost a little more than the ones you won. For some reason, they stick with you a little longer, and they're missed opportunities. But to go back, and a lot of teams don't get a second chance, let alone a third. And we've been good enough, and the players have put a lot of hard work in to get us back to that third time. And it takes a bit of it away, yeah. And then we'll enjoy it for another couple weeks, and then it's try to go back, again in 2019.
I want to talk about the championship before we move ahead, but I want to just ask you about the 2 years previous to that. Which one was harder to swallow, the loss to Ottawa in overtime, or the one against Toronto last year?
I think the one against Toronto, for me, I think we played really good for about 58 minutes of that game. The one in Ottawa, I think that was probably, maybe our best team, but I don't know what happened, but we didn't. I think the one in Toronto was one against Toronto, just a little bit more because of the way it went down and everything, and you play really good for 58 minutes, and you learn something from the last two, right? You got to play every second of that 60 minutes to win a championship. That's why it's so hard to do that. And the guys were bought into that all season, and they left it out there. Even to the last play, we got a sack on the very last play of the game when we were up by 11 points. So
you certainly did.
It shows that those guys really went for it, and they understood that it was every second you got to play hard.
Adversity. This team overcame a lot of adversity. Is this a more satisfying championship this year, just with all the injuries and everything you had to deal with? It was a weird year for the Stampeders, because usually, 4 or 5 weeks left to go in the season, you guys have it wrapped up and you're just kind of cooling your jets. It was still a little bit in doubt till the end of the year in terms of finishing in first place. Do you think that was advantageous for you guys as you went into the playoffs this year?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think it was a bad thing necessarily, Ballsy. I think that sometimes, complacency gets into people. You don't want it to, and how hard you try to get it out of there, sometimes it happens. But we were fighting right to the last game. We had to beat BC in BC, which was a tough place to play. They were one of the better. I think they went 7-2 or 8-1 at home this year. And we had to go in there with some guys that hadn't, even started a game for us. Bakari Grant's his first game there, and the receivers and whoever was out there had to step up and play. And I think you had to continue to get better every single week. And the situation we were in, we did that.
Who surprised you on this roster this year, maybe in your own position group, the running backs, or just in general? Is there a guy that kind of popped that you didn't expect to pop on the team this year?
Well, I wouldn't say that you don't expect it, because when you bring these guys in, you expect all of them to be that next guy. But just the way that everyone rallied around each other in the running back room. I thought our room was, it didn't matter who was playing, whether it was Don Jackson, the guy who started at the end, or Terry Williams, who had the big game, in the Grey Cup as well, or Romar Morris, who started 5 games for us and went in there and produced. I think that all those guys, they were very unselfish, which doesn't happen a lot of the time. As a running back, you're used to being the guy, especially if it's got you here. And those guys were unselfish, and we had great leaders in the room, guys, because we had lost leaders in, Rob Cote and guys who had held the ball a lot, like Jerome Messam and guys like that. So there was a void there, and I think that everyone came together instead of just one guy stepping up. Maybe a Charlie Power did, but everyone came together and everyone worked together, which I really appreciated.
Who do you think about when the clock hits zero? Who's popping into your mind? How did you celebrate the championship?
It was pretty cool. For me, we had the opportunity that I could get down to the field before it was over. I got down there with about 1 second left, and the neat part of we were in Edmonton, and as I walked to get down through the stands, I got to walk by the TSN booth, and my dad, Larry, works for TSN. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty cool that I got to go grab him. He was kind of the first guy. At that point, usually I don't try to interrupt those guys, but I didn't care. So I walked right in there, I hugged him. That was a pretty special moment that not a lot of people would get to have that early.
Yeah,
that it just kind of worked out that way. And then as I was coming down the stands, Don Jackson was standing on the track you know, that was pretty cool. That was a good moment. But the first person I thought of and was really happy for was Dave. Just the last, you know, 2 years and then this year and, you know, having the best regular season record and getting to the Grey Cup. And, you know, a guy like Dave that now has done it all. He has as a starting quarterback, as a backup quarterback, as an assistant coach, now as a head coach. He's won a Grey Cup. So I thought I was really happy for him and all the hard work he puts in and all the belief that he puts in guys like me and his assistants.
I want to talk about Dave in a second. Mark Mueller joining us here, former U of R Ram, great guy in this community here in Regina, now plying his trade in Calgary with the Stampeders here on Growing the Game with Ballsy. Do you think about your grandpa at all? I mean, he, of course, a big fixture with the Rough Riders, but also a big fixture in Edmonton. It's kind of nice. I know it's a small league, so eventually you're going to maybe win a championship in a stadium where he coached, but he was a pretty big part of that Eskimo organization.
It was really cool and really special because obviously, you know, Molly Campbell and Max Campbell, the grandson and the daughter of Hugh Campbell, mm-hmm. They worked for us in Calgary, and obviously Rick was on the other sideline. So I got to see Hugh and Louise Saturday night or Friday night before the game. We went a day early to Commonwealth to practice at Commonwealth on Friday instead of just going Saturday. And, you know, there's a big picture of my grandpa in there, and it brought back a lot of memories because really my first memories of football, there's some that are kind of hazy with when my dad was with the Riders from 89 to 92, but I would only been 2 or 3 years old at that time. Mm-hmm. And but a lot of my first memories of football are running around Commonwealth Stadium. And the equipment manager, Dwayne Mandruziak, who was best friends with my grandfather, a really close member of the family, and his kids were helping. So I got to hang out with them. It was almost like a full circle type thing. And I said, I know this probably kills you that Calgary is here and winning in your locker room, but it meant a lot to me that I got to spend it with Dwayne and Matt and Mackenzie Mandruziak, guys who I've known my whole life, and I look at him as family.
Yeah, Dwayne's a great guy. One of the fixtures on the sidelines for sure. And it is. That's a cool piece of the story. Let's talk about Dave Dickinson. Does he hate Canadians?
I don't think so. You know, I'm a Canadian, and there's, you know, 4 or 5 Canadians on staff. He basically is Canadian. He says A and things like that. So. He's I'm so appreciative for Dave. I think he's the best guy to be around, and I'm so lucky that I get to learn and be around a guy like him, and now going into my 6th season in Calgary.
Geez, man, you got to look at this. You got to look. We talk about the Eskimos back in the day when they had their glory days there. They looked at the Grey Cup as just another game on the schedule because they were there every year. But the Calgary Stampeders are getting there. 2014, 2012, 2014, 2050, 2060, 2017. You know, it's just been rolling for you guys. How does this team stay at the top? Take us inside the locker room. Like, how does this organization built so that you guys can have success, sustained success?
Well, I think it starts at the top. You know, and I've been lucky enough that I've only been in one place. So I really only know what it's like here. And it starts at the top. There's expectations that you're going to do your job and work hard, and you're let alone to do that. And you get coached every day. So I get coached every day. The players get coached every day. It starts at the top with Huff. And then he has obviously a great trust in Dave and has had for a long time, and then starts with Dave. But those two guys, they're always with you. They're always helping you. They're always coaching you. And then we get to coach the players, and they're always coaching the players. You know, Dave is obviously very hands-on as the head coach. He's the play caller, offensive coordinator. And I think there's just an expectation, and we've been lucky to have guys here for long periods of time that they buy into that, and they understand the standard, and then they pass that standard on to the next group of guys, and then just kind of it kind of trickles down because of the consistency, not only in the players, but in the staff that we have here as well.
When does restlessness set in for you? And I don't mean that in a negative way, but you're a driven guy. I know you well. You want to succeed at everything you do. And part of that, succeeding part is evolving and taking on another challenge. We talked about this earlier when you joined us during the season. Like, when doesn't the position coach job become enough for you? Like, when are you looking to move on?
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, I think everybody who's a position, I think I've said this before, everybody who's a position coach, I think, strives to be a coordinator, and everyone who's a coordinator probably strives to be a head coach, and then so forth. Just like anybody in any job. When I was at Molson, I was the merchandiser. I was striving and trying to become the sales rep kind of thing, and it's no different in football, and I'm just really lucky, and I try to be the best running back coach or position coach that I am, and then if you do a good enough job, those things will happen, and sometimes you got to understand that. Just keep doing your job, because once you start looking for that next job, that's when your current job suffers. And I try to stay out of that way, and I love it here in Calgary. Like I've said to, you know, a bunch of people, and I'm probably not the greatest thing to say publicly, but if I can just, you know, stay and keep learning from Dave and Huff for as long as they'll have me, I'll do that.
Do you get a lot of input in the offense?
I think everyone does, you know, a bit of their own part. You know, it's segmented a bit, and you try to throw a bunch of, you know, some ideas in there and what sticks. And then it's just taking those ideas that maybe that are yours and they kind of morph into everybody's idea, which I think we do really well. You know, it's always not going to be 100%. You know, it might be 80% and then get twisted this way. That's, the game plan days are long because we have lots of really good minds in there. You know, with Huff and Dave and Pat Delmonico does a great job with the run game, and Dinwiddie and myself and Pete Costanza is there as well. And it's, the days are long because we go through every play and all the scenarios. And I think that's a part of the reason why when we get to teach those plays, we feel really confident in them.
Is that what you wanted to do? I mean, I know you want to play, but is that what you always wanted to do, be in football somewhere coaching, and you have to pinch yourself that you're sitting, you just won a Grey Cup again, and you're sitting in a CFL coach's office game planning professional football?
Yeah, it's I love those long days. I know that sounds bizarre, but I like game plan day. I like working. Like, we've been off for almost, I guess, a week now, and I'll probably go back in on Monday because I'm kind of bored. Like, there's only so many things I can do at the house. So I always said that I would play as long as they would let me, and then I would try to get into coaching right away. And I was lucky enough that Frank and Bernie at the U of R with the Rams there gave me that opportunity to coach right after I was done playing. So I was lucky enough that, and then I got the phone call from Huff, Dave, and Rich Stubler in 14 to come on up. Another awesome opportunity, and the CFL has been a part of my life. It has realistically been my life. I've been in it my whole life, and you know, whether it's through family or, you know, watching and things like that, and I'm just really happy to be part of the league.
You know, it's interesting. You work all season long. You're grinding to win the championship. And you just said it when we started this interview. I took a couple weeks off, enjoyed it. I'm right back at it. Do you find, though, you don't get enough time to savor it, or that's just about enough time you want to get right back at it?
No, I think you get enough time, and I think we do a good job here. We get some time off to kind of decompress and get away from a bit, and then you want to come back. You want to get back into it and things like that. I know some teams take more time off than we do, but I really like our schedule. It works out perfectly with me. My wife and I are expecting a daughter in January.
Oh, nice.
So that's working out nice because we're off for most of January. So that means I'm going to try to get a little bit of a head start these next 2 weeks before Christmas of stuff that I'd usually get a head start on in January before we go back in February. So the planning for the off season kind of worked out perfectly for us with having, you know, hopefully the kid here, and it'll be healthy and everything, and then in January.
That'll be awesome. Okay, a couple more quick questions for Mark Mueller. What do you identify in the off season, self-reflecting? What do you need to do better as a coach? You obviously do some good things, but what do you think you need to do better next season?
Yeah, well, there's always stuff you got to get better, and it changes sometimes just by who you have in the room, and you got to be able to teach and communicate to everybody individually, but as a group at the same time, you know. Mark Mueller is going to learn different than Michael Ball or, you know, someone like that. So you got to continue to evolve with how the next group of people are learning. And you'd probably think that I'm kind of in this generation, even though I'm 29. Mm-hmm. People would say that I'm essentially 70 years old in a 29-year-old body. I'm not all hip to the social media and things like that. So you got to continue to evolve the way you structure your install or structure your meeting, because it's changing, because attentions change and way people learn change. So you always got to try to stay up on that. And then you try to refine and, you know, find your own tendencies and things like that to evolve and get out of them. You don't want to have, you know, every team has tendencies, but you don't want to have too many of them.
Got to ask you three more questions. Sorry, three popped into my head. First off, do we got to move this season up? I mean, that Grey Cup game was a disaster. I heard the week was great, but you don't get to see the teams at their best running around on a skating rink. You might as well have been playing on the Edmonton Oilers hockey rink the way the field was. I think I've always said this season should move up a month. I'd rather see the crappier games at the start of the year than the end of the year. How do you feel?
Yeah, I'm kind of indifferent on it. I guess I'm kind of the way that this is the way it's been forever. What's totally wrong with it? But some of the times we have, I don't know what it's like in Regina lately, but in Calgary, we get the big snowfall at the almost around Thanksgiving every time, and then it goes away. But that'd be the same time as the Grey Cup would be a month earlier anyway.
Yeah.
So I think, unfortunately, it's just good or bad luck, but depending on how it was. And the field is the field. You know, there's ways that you can get around that or and then do things better. And hopefully I think that this will kind of, you know, bring up a way to handle that for next year here in Calgary. And also, it's the same for both teams. And obviously, like you said, if it could be played indoors every year or something like that. But there's also Super Bowls that are outside and there in the rain too. So it's not ever going to be perfect. It's an outdoor game, and that's the way it's going to be.
All right. So I got to ask you this: are you concerned about the future of Mark Mueller's going forward? And by that I mean, there's a cap now on coaching and a cap on the football operations side that might eliminate guys like, you know, I think of Mark Mueller, but I think of a guy like Noah Pickton, who probably will not get to play in this league, but he definitely has a smart mind like a Mark Mueller. Maybe he could be the next kind of guy going into the coaching ranks, but maybe that opportunity is not afforded him because of the salary cap.
No, not really. I think if you are deserving of a chance or things like that, you'll get it. And the teams, if they want you, they'll find a way to do it. And I think that it may take a couple years to realize, you know, how you can do that with the salary management and all that. But I don't think it'll hinder young coaches or anything like that. I think there'll always be a way to bring in a guy like me as a defensive assistant or whatever I was, linebacker guy my first year, and let him develop. You just have to have the patience. And Bulge, I've been lucky enough that there's been no change at the, you know, at the organization that I'm in. I think we're the only team that hasn't had any in the same time that I've been here.
Yeah, that's something to be said for continuity. But you might have a change this year at the quarterback spot. Do you think Bo Levi Mitchell has played his last game as a Stampeder? Do you think he's going to have a legitimate shot to make it in the National Football League?
I think Bo's a very good player, and it'll come down that he's put in a lot of good tape or film. He's got a lot of good stuff on film. You know, he's 2-time Grey Cup champ, Grey Cup MVP, most outstanding player. And I think if he wants to go down and he shows the way that we know he can play, he'll get a chance. And, you know, we love having Bo. I love, you know, I share an office with Ryan Dinwiddie, who's the quarterback coach, and I get to see Bo a lot. You know, he's our leader, and he had, you know, another great season this past year.
So when's the due date?
January 7th is the due date. So it's picking up here. And all the things that I'd say I would get down after the season, unfortunately, the season ended.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been doing these past five, six days. Yeah. My lower back's pretty tight from lifting stuff. But other than that, the house is starting to kind of take shape.
Are the parents excited?
Yeah, they are. And we're not coming back to Regina for Christmas because it's so close to the due date. So my parents took that as an open invitation to come to Calgary for Christmas. So they'll be here they'll be here for it for a couple of days, and then they'll be out. And I think Janaea, my wife's parents, will come out for when the child comes.
So you'll be happy to have mom, but you might be fed up with Larry after a while.
No, I already am, and they haven't even came yet. So that'll be that's just the way it is.
Well, boy, that's a great off season for you, man. You can celebrate a Grey Cup championship, your second, and you get your first child. So best of luck, man, and congratulations on another great season.
Thanks so much, Ballsy. Have a happy holiday.
And this is Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by our friends at Pizza Hut in Saskatchewan and the David Dubé-led Concord Group of Companies. Thanks to David Dubé for getting on board. Also, Paul Waldo over at Royal LePage, the home expert team, give him a call at 306-502-5355 to get in the real estate game. And if you want to rent the travel trailer out or rent your travel trailer, do so at wheelestate.ca. I'm joined on the phone by Nick Makowski. If Makowski rings a bell, that's right. It's the son of Gene Makowski, offensive lineman who has joined the Regina Thunder. Nick, why did you pick the Thunder program?
Well, you know, it was a bit of a family decision, I guess, in a sense. You know, me and my parents, we all just kind of talked it out. And, you know, there's I had some other offers and some other options, but I wanted to stay in Regina, and just sort of felt that Thunder was the best option for me in terms of my future.
Yeah, it's a good place to play when you're trying to figure out your future in terms of football, too. Do you plan to go to school, Nick?
Yeah, I plan to go to university.
And what are you going to take in university?
I think actually computer science.
Awesome.
Is what I'm interested in.
Awesome. And I'll tell you what, like I was saying, I played junior football too with the Regina Rams back in the day. I like junior football because it gives you a chance to develop while you're getting your feet wet in school and get some meaningful reps. Is that kind of how you looked at it?
Yeah, that's what I thought about too. It just seemed like I was able to just get a sense of playing at the next level, but also being able to just figure out what was best for me.
Yeah, for sure. Nick Makowski joining me here from the Miller Marauders. What was it like winning a championship this year? Take us through the season, man.
Well, it was pretty awesome. Anytime you win any sort of a thing like that, it's pretty awesome, but especially in your senior season, it's really great.
Yeah, your senior season, that is cool to go out a champion. Just talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely special, you know, because also a lot of my teammates, we've been playing together for a long time, not even just since grade 10, but even before that, playing RMF together, going to school together, elementary school.
Yeah.
So I guess just being able to finish it off, because now after this we're going to be going to different places, but now be able to just kind of come together, come to Miller, and be able to win it all, just it's really an awesome feeling.
What popped into your head when the clock hit zero and you won the provincial championship? Was it that you know what, we finally did it, and you know, it was so much more meaningful, I guess, that, like you said, you played with these guys from a very young age?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, when we were winning and we were kneeling it out, I was just really excited. Just felt, but it was also a little bit bittersweet, because you knew that, like, after this, nothing's guaranteed, and that you're not going to be able to play with that same line, the same teammates. You know, nothing's going to be quite the same after that. So that was, there was a little bit of a bitter part to it, but it was definitely awesome to be able to win something like that and bring provincial championship to Miller.
It's been 47 years. Yeah, it's been a long time, and way to end the drought. And a lot was expected of you guys this year, because you were a veteran team. You had a lot of grade 12, so was there a lot of pressure on the team this year?
Yeah, I think so, definitely. You know, I think even maybe that affected us a little bit at the beginning of the season. I think somewhat we were a little bit afraid to make mistakes, but I think as the year went on, we kind of got rid of that fear, and we just said that we were just going to play football, and then we're just going to try our hardest. We're not going to worry too much about the little details and just play as hard as we could.
Nick Makowski joining us here in Growing the Game with Ballsy. Now, has your dad coached you all the way up, Gene?
Yeah, for the most part. There's been a few years where he wasn't involved with the team, and maybe like a few like camps. But yeah, for the most part, he's been my O-line coach.
How special was it to share a championship? Because your dad, if I'm not mistaken, was on the coaching staff for Miller. What was it like to share a championship with your dad?
Oh, it's pretty good. It's definitely nice, you know. Actually, my little brother was on the team, sort of, but he just came at the end of the season because he was playing RMF, but the season ended. So we kind of had, you know, three people involved with the team, and that was pretty cool, because, you know, there's sort of just a family connection. And, yeah, I mean, it's nice when you have, like, when you have someone on the team that you know very well.
What position does your brother play?
Oh, he's a linebacker.
Linebacker. Let me ask you this, my friend. Nick Makowski, that name Makowski carries a lot of weight in this province. Not only is your dad in the political game, but of course, let's just talk football here. Do you feel pressure to live up to that name, especially being an offensive lineman like your dad?
Yeah, I guess a little bit. You know, there's always that sort of feeling of, like, you know, what he did, and it's like, wow, you know, that's a pretty big expectation. But I think also, like I said, a lot of people do kind of realize that is a big expectation upon people, and so, you know, no one's like really pressure on me saying, well, you better be as good as your dad, because they realize that's kind of a large thing to aspire to. But yeah, I guess there's always a little bit of pressure, but I just try and focus on the moment, because it's hard to really look so far to the future. It's like, oh, what's going to happen with, you know, playing after high school? But yeah, but I guess there's a little bit of pressure. Yeah.
How does your dad help you with that pressure? What are his words of wisdom for you?
Well, I guess he always said that, you know, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. You just do whatever you want to do. You don't have to be some great football player. Mm-hmm. Just be a good person, and whatever you decide to do, you know, do that as well as you can.
Yeah, for sure. Nick Makowski joining me here on Growing the Game with Ballsy. Nick, for the people that haven't watched you play, I've watched you play, but how would you describe your play?
Well, I think there's a lot of things. I'd say I'm a fairly technical player. Mm-hmm. I think I have pretty good footwork. Also, I'd say that I always play pretty smart. I always try and play always try and play, like, as a center. You always have to know what's going on with the backers and what's going on with the D linemen. So I always try and play with that in mind, and just try and play as hard as I can every play.
Yeah, you're really the quarterback of the offensive line. Interesting that you're the center. Do you get a chance to talk about your dad? Do you get a chance to? Do you remember watching many of your dad's games? Have you watched old footage?
I watched a little bit recently of, like, some of the playoff games that are on YouTube.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a little kid, I didn't really understand the game as much as I do now, obviously. But Yeah, also especially remembers, you know, having experience of him being on the Riders and some of the cool things that that brought. But yeah, I remember some of that stuff.
That's cool. It's awesome. Nick, so in terms of the Thunder, what has Scott McCauley told you what his plans are for you joining the Thunder football team?
Well, he says he, you know, they had about a 4-0 lineman graduate last year. So he said that there's a good chance that I have the ability to, you know, be a part of the traveling team and next year or two, and then, you know, work my way. So I was able to, you know, put on some more muscle and put in some more weight, and I'll be able to, you know, get a starting position and just give me the opportunity to work with the team and have the ability to play.
Hey, I never asked you, what's your favorite part of football? You talked about what you think you're good at, but what's your favorite? If I'd ask you one element of football you enjoy the most, what would it be?
I'd say sort of the team aspect of football. I really just like the idea of, you know, 12 guys coming together, working hard. It's like 12 on 12, your guys versus another 12 guys, and just coming together and just working hard and then being able to pull out a victory. It's just really something special, I think.
Nick Makowski here for Growing the Game with Ballsy. Before I let you go, your best Christmas present ever. What's your best Christmas present ever since we're on the holiday season? Can you remember one? Sticks out?
Good question. You know, I think, I think I have two, actually. I think I remember when I was a little kid, I think I got a Nintendo Wii for Christmas. And I was super excited because I didn't think my parents were going to get it. Because they said that, oh, it's too expensive, right? We'll get it later. I was like, oh, okay. Uh-huh. But they got it for me. I was really excited about that. And also, funny enough, I remember one time my cousin got me a NES, which I don't know, Nintendo Entertainment System.
Right.
An older system. I just kind of really wanted one. And she said she used to have one. I was excited about that back when I was a little kid because I used to really like that system. And she got it for me. I was super excited when she got it for me. I still have a thing, actually.
Are you a video game guy? Do you like video games to kind of de-stress?
Yeah, definitely. Always sort of liked them since I was little. And
What's your go-to video game now? What do you like playing?
I really like Madden, and I like Mario games, actually.
Mario games, cool. Who's your NFL team?
Saints.
Saints. So you're a Breeze guy?
Yeah, I like Breeze. He's a Oh, a quarterback.
Yeah, so who's going to play in the Super Bowl? Who do you got in the Super Bowl?
It's tough to say, really. I mean, I think probably NFC, either Saints or Rams, I think, are the best shot. And the AFC, tough question. I think, it's hard to say. Always seems like the Patriots somehow managed to pull it out.
Yeah, I hate the Patriots.
I'm not a super big fan, but, I don't know. I think... Either them or the Steelers, maybe.
I'm going Chargers and the Saints because I'm going to go Breeze against Rivers. They used to be teammates, so I'm going to go that way.
Yeah. Chargers are looking good, but it's hard to say.
Yeah, they always choke. Anyway, Nick, thanks for this. Have a great holiday. Say hi to your dad for me.
All right, I will.
Take care, man. Thanks.
All right, thanks. You too.
And thanks to my guests once again, Nick Makowski and Mark Mueller. If you have a story idea you want me to pursue, email me mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. If you want to help me grow the game through your sponsorship, you can do the same thing. Hit me up at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. And you can find me each weekday morning with Chad McDonald, Chad and Ballsy in the morning on 104.9 The Wolf from 6 to 10. And of course, I'm also on the Rough Rider broadcasts when the season fires up once again in 2019. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you soon.